I want you to think about our walks with God. If the temple represented that connection with God, when the work stops in our life, are we that convicted to run back to Jesus and get back into that fellowship?
Pastor Ben asks that question and many more in the Building Our Foundation series, a verse-by-verse study through the Old Testament book of Ezra, here on In Christ Radio.
In Christ, I can do all things. In Christ, I mount up on eagle's wings. In Christ, I wait for a great reward that I have in store. In Christ.
Last time in the Building Foundation series, we saw how God used His Word to restart the work that had been stopped. Today, we continue verse by verse in Ezra with chapter 5, verses 3 through 17, with the message titled, Staying Focused. As the people rebuild, opposition shows up again, this time through questioning and investigation. Leaders ask, who gave you permission to build? It's the same pressure, just a different form. But instead of stopping, the people keep working. They answer honestly. They trust God's sovereignty, and they stay focused on what He called them to do, even while the outcome is still uncertain. Staying focused doesn't mean the pressure goes away. It means you don't let the pressure pull you away from what God has said. So, when questions, pressure, and uncertainty come, trying to pull you away, will you stay focused on what God has called you to do, or will you get distracted by what others are saying? Grab your Bibles, turn with me to Ezra chapter 5, verses 3 through 17, as we go through today's message, Staying Focused. Here's Pastor Ben.
Ezra chapter 2 tells us about how 40 or 50,000 out of the multitude of Jews living in captivity responded to the call to come back home. What it shows us is there's only a remnant of people who have a true walk with God. There were many people, and I understand that there were people living in Babylon that was like too old. They couldn't make that trip back. It was 900 miles. Like, I get that. There were elderly, they were sick. And then there were people who just go, no, thank you. I'm good here. I've got it really good here. I work for the Babylonian government. We've got nice three chariot house and we've got everything we need and we've got insurance and they didn't want to move back. They didn't want to go back to do the task, but there was a remnant of them who said, yeah. And the first half of chapter 3 describes the children of Israel arriving home, rebuilding the altar, remember, and reestablishing the sacrifices to the Lord. That was the first thing they did. The second half of Ezra 3 describes a remnant of people starting the work on the rebuilding of the temple of the Lord. In chapter 4, the enemy launches their first assault on the whole process of restoration. Up till chapter 3, everything was great. We're going home. They start working. This is good. We're gonna connect with God again. We're gonna connect with God. Are you serious? Yeah. And then all of a sudden in chapter 4, here comes the opposition. Here comes the enemies of God. It doesn't take long, does it? If you look at the Bible, Genesis chapter 1, amen. Genesis chapter 2, right on. Genesis chapter 3, that's where it all falls apart. And again, this is where the enemy, they start to show up. You remember what they tried to do? They tried different methods to stop Israel from moving forward. You go, well, like what? Well, first of all, they tried trickery. Hey, we'll join the work. We'll help you. Your God is our God. And they're like, no, they're not. You're still worshiping idols. Oh, yeah, trickery. I get that. They tried intimidation. Can you imagine? You go, well, what would be modern? Hey, listen, you're not going to get that promotion because you're rebuilding the wall. You're one of those Christians. You're not going to get that. Your kids are not going to get into that school because, and it was intimidation and fear. Don't do this or else. Oh, guess what? We put in a bid for our house. Oh, it's so wonderful. That's amazing. And they see that you're, oh, you just got from Babylon? No, I'm sorry. It's sold. You see how the enemy will use that to get you to stop the work. And finally, do you realize what they did? They resorted to the political pressure. And what did it do? You ready? It stopped Israel in its tracks. It stopped the work. 16 years, they're not doing anything. So much so that in chapter 5, the last two verses, Haggai and Zechariah give him a warning. Hey, guys, what are you doing? You're building your house. The temple of God lies in ruins. You're building your house. You're working on your golf game. You added an addition. You're doing all these things. What's going on? Where's the work? And it took Haggai and Zechariah to bring the word of the Lord to the people. And I love the fact that it took the two prophets, these prophets Haggai, to rebuke the people in a loving way, and they come back to build the temple. Don't you love that? Can you imagine? For 16 years, work had stopped. You'd walk by the temple and go, yeah, we should get back to doing that someday. Oh, yeah, maybe. And the conversations you would have around the water cooler at the grocery store. Yeah, you know what? Yeah, we should. Yeah, but you know what? Every time we try to do the work, man, we get hit with higher taxes. Every time we try to do the work, we get fired. Every time we do the work. And then Haggai comes in and he says, hey, it's time to get back to work. It's time to get back to consider your ways. And that's a beautiful thing. And what you need to write down, church, and it's so beautiful because the Holy Spirit does bring that conviction when we need to continue to build the temple. Oh, I'm not talking about the temple in Jerusalem. I'm talking about the temple in our walks with God and having that foundation. What do you mean? Well, there are times in my life when I've lost focus. And the Holy Spirit knocks on my heart, says, come on back, come on, come on back. And I have to heed that conviction. I'm sorry, Lord. I'm sorry, Lord. I wasn't giving you the throne of my heart. I lost focus. After 16 years, think about what's happening. The people are back in action. The people get back to rebuilding the house of the Lord. Can you imagine? And in Ezra chapter 5, verse 2, it says the prophets were helping them by holding them on task. I love that. You see, one of the things you need to know is that at Calvary Chapel, the pastors are servants, and they're the ones that are going, we are helping you stay on task. We're here helping you. And what I like to tell people is that all pastor and all minister means is that you're the chief servant, and they need to see us building the temple. This is why it's so devastating when a man of God behind the pulpit for years upon years stumbles and falls because the people look at him and go, man, he was helping me in my walk, in my building, and my foundation, and if he blew it, wow! And it's devastating to the body of Christ. There are so many casualties when a pastor falls. And it doesn't have to be a big celebrity pastor. All it has to be is a man of God who teaches the word. And you go, what does that mean? Pray for your pastors. Pray for God's protection. And just pray. So they're back working. And this time, the people are going to fulfill what God had called them to do. They're going to accomplish what they were born to do. And they're going to do exactly what God has called them to do. You go, why? What's different? What is 16 years? Here it is. It's time for the people of the Lord to stay focused on task in spite of that continued opposition. Whatever, and we've gone through this, church, because we did it through our Through the Bible series with Haggai. The conviction stuck. So let me say this. There are times in our lives when we get convicted and we don't do anything about it. Come on, somebody. There are times we get convicted, oh, Lord, I've just busted, but we don't respond in obedience. Just me? Give me an amen if it's you too, because you left me alone all up here. I was like all alone going, okay, just me. But the children of Israel responded. They responded. They began to be obedient. They're like, okay, we're back to work. Okay, but you know what it's going to cost you, right? Yeah, but we're back to work. We're serving Jesus. Yeah, but you understand what it means. Yes, this time we're not going to stop. I love a beautiful applicational point there for you and I. I want you to think about our walks with God. If the temple represented that connection with God, when the work stops in our life, are we that convicted to run back to Jesus and get back into that fellowship? Man, Lord. Okay, permission to step on toes? Okay. We're really good, and we will do whatever it takes if we leave our phone at home. We just are. We're so connected to our phone. It's the lifeline. And if we run out the door and we forget it, now I get there are some of you that don't care. That's cool. You're an anomaly. You're different. But the majority of us are like, oh man, I need my phone. So what if somebody needs me? What if I feel so connected? But I would love for us to do that in our walks and in the Word of God, that we would just be so in love with Jesus. It's like, okay, hey, Pastor Self, what are you reading? Hey man, I'm reading the book of John. Cool. He had a few minutes and he's just, hey, I saw Sister Yvonne and she was waiting at a doctor's appointment and it was so cool to see her because she had her Bible open. She's just reading and she's just connecting with God. That's the temple that God wants us to build. That few minutes that we have, let's not take for granted. Oh, I was telling Joseph in my office earlier, I have a stack of books this big that I got to read. These are my, okay, you got to read them. And he goes, and Joseph looks at me, goes, well, how come you haven't read them? And I said, how do you know I haven't read? No, I didn't say that. I said, it's probably because I'm lazy. It's easier to go home and click, turn on the TV. And that's the honest truth. But to have that desire to go, okay, I'm going to read this. I want to get closer to the Lord. This time, the people are going to stay focused. And that's where we pick up our story. Staying focused, church, despite opposition. Staying focused. Now, if you're taking notes, I want to give you four reasons why you and I need to stay focused on the task of serving Jesus. And when I say serving Jesus, I want you to take a look at your walk. I want you to take a look at your prayer life, everything that encompasses your walk with Jesus. I want you to stay focused. And I'm going to give you four reasons we need to stay focused. And they're going to be found here tonight. Number one, we want to stay focused on the task because, jot this down, you belong to Jesus. We're going to see that in the test. You belong to Jesus. That's the main reason to stay focused. Number two, we stay focused on the task and because of our history. And I'll share what I mean by that in just a moment. Number three, we stay focused on the task, ready? Because of necessity. Necessity. And the fourth reason, guys, to stay focused on the task is because of God's authority. So, number one, because we belong to Jesus, because of our history, because of necessity, and because of God's authority. These are going to be found in the 17 verses that we're going to look at tonight. You guys ready? Picking it up in verse 3. Children of Israel are back at work. You guys with me? They're excited. I can imagine the excitement in the air. The workers are there. The temple foundation is being built. Wow. The people got that mind to work. They're back to focus. And guess what happens? Verse 3. At the same time, Tattenai, the governor of the region beyond the river, and Shethar Bonzai and their companions came to them and spoke thus to them. You ready? Here comes the opposition. Who has commanded you to build the temple and finish the wall? Then according, we told them the names of the men who were constructing this building. Now catch this. Right off the bat, here comes the enemy. 16 years, not a single soul showed up to the temple, to the work site. The moment they start building, here comes Tattenai, his companions, Shethar-Bonzai, and all of these guys, they come up and here we go. Now, put on your thinking caps. The enemy had done everything in its power to stop the rebuilding of the temple. They've done everything. We talked about that. In chapter 4, the enemy tried to join the effort, tried to discourage and frighten the people, hired counselors from within the city of God to work against and frustrate the process, lodged a complaint with Artaxerxes, the king of Persia, by illegal means. That's where it stopped. They were like, hey, Artaxerxes, did you, oh, make sure it stops. And that's where it stopped. And after a long period of time, guess what happened? Here it comes again. And here's what we need to understand. Right as they decided to go forward, come on, somebody, the enemy shows up. You go, Pastor Ben, why would you say that? I think it's important for you to know. The moment you decide, I'm going to be that prayer warrior. Here comes the enemy. The moment you go, I'm going to go back to church. The moment you say, I'm going to live for God. The moment you say, no more, I'm done with booze. I'm serving Jesus. Guess what happens? Here comes the enemy. And what do they start with? Intimidation. Do you see it? How are they intimidating? Man, here they come, and here it says, hey, who authorized you to rebuild the city? Do you guys remember the Pharisees when they talked to Jesus? Do you remember? By what authority do you do these things? Same concept. Same concept. And here's the intimidation. Here's the self-doubt, right? Who told you you could do this? And here's the intimidation. What's the intimidation? They're saying, give us the names. Who are the workers? That's enough to go, oh, okay, we're done. Man, we came out to work. But I feel like this is noteworthy. The enemy, when bringing opposition to your life and mine, often uses the same tactics. You go, what do you mean? He starts with self-doubt, right? Self-doubt is a lack of confidence in one's abilities. All of a sudden, what? Who are you to preach the gospel? Who are you to share? Who are you to pray? Who are you to tell your family anything? And right away, we shrink down to, yeah, they're right. The enemy will use people to bring up your past and tell you just how awful you are, and you have no right to do what you do. And it's self-doubt. When I lived in Cape Girardeau, Missouri, home of Rush Limbaugh, in case you wanted to know, by St. Louis, started a Bible study, invited some friends over, and didn't know much, was real green, started a brand new Bible study. And I remember, you know, we were in my basement, and we did some worship, and I sat and taught as best I could the book of Joshua. Never taught a Bible study before, but just was feeling like we needed to do something. The opposition came. Immediately, one of my friends who came to the Bible study, again, same thing. How do you know you're called to do a Bible study? How do you know you're called to teach the Bible? It was those type. I literally shrunk in my, I was like, and it brought self-doubt right away. He didn't even realize what he was doing in future terms, because I had a choice at that point. I could have said, well, he's right. I can't teach the Bible study, and we wouldn't be here today. But it was that self-doubt. And maybe God, and maybe the enemy works like that in your life. And he tries to bring the same thing. He also used intimidation in our lives, right? And that's the intentional behavior that would cause a person of ordinary sensibilities to fear injury or harm. Intimidation. But, everybody say but. I'm going to say it again, but. This time, the attack of the enemy is not going to achieve its purposes. And you go, why? I love it. If you're a highlighter, verse 5. But the eye of their God was upon the elders of the Jews, so they could not make them cease till a report could go to Darius. Then a written answer was returned concerning this matter. You go, what did he just say? Jot this down. God's watching over them. Can I get an amen? Amen. That is beautiful. The work didn't stop. Hey, why are you doing this? Who's the guys? Tell us all of this stuff. And they're just like, nope, God is watching over me, man. He's walking with us. And here's my point, like church tonight, stay focused on your walk. Despite opposition, here's why. God, the God of the universe, the God that created you, the God that knows you inside and out, he's going to continually watch over you. He's got you. He's got you. Now, again, for my note takers on there, let me give you some scriptures to remind you of these. These are things that you want to put on the bathroom mirror. These are things you want to see every morning. Psalm 34, verse 15 says, the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous and his ears open to their cry. God's watching you. Psalm 121, verse 8 says this, the Lord will guard your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forever. Psalm 121:5, the Lord himself watches over you. The Lord stands beside you as your protective shade. Can you imagine? I love that verse. God is watching over you. He's going to stand beside you so you don't get sunburned. He's your protective shade. So what does Israel's enemies do? What do? They decide, we're going to take this to a higher court. We're going to write a letter to Darius to see if he could stop the work. Look at verse 6. This is a copy of the letter that Tatanai sent. The governor of the region beyond the river and Sheth-Bozenai and his companions, the Persians who were in the region beyond the river, to who? Darius the king. Now remember, Cyrus is the one who decreed for them to come back. Now we have another one. It's Darius. Okay, you go, well, Ben, what did the letter say? Look at verse 7. They sent a letter to him in which was written thus, to Darius the king, all peace. Let it be known to the king that we went to the province of Judea, to the temple of the great God, which is being built with heavy stones, timber is being laid, and in the walls. And this work goes on diligently and prospers in their hands. And then we asked those elders and spoke thus to them, who commanded you to build the temple and to finish these walls? Question mark. And we asked them the names to inform you, that we might write the names of the men who were chief among them. Let me say this to you real quick, okay? If you are doing God's will, if you're walking in His grace, first and foremost, His eyes are on you. He's going to walk with you. Don't be afraid to give Him your name. He's got you. And He said, we ask the name. We ask the name. Point number one, jot this down. Staying focused on that task. You, what's the task? Our walks with God. Because first and foremost, we belong to Jesus. Look at verse 11. And thus they returned the answer saying, we are servants of God, of heaven and earth, and we are rebuilding the temple that was built many years ago, which a great king of Israel built and completed. Your attention, please. They say, we're servants of God, of heaven and earth. You go, you know what you can write there? We belong to Jesus. We belong to Jesus. You know what? You ask our names. He's our identity. He's our identity. Do you realize that when you gave your life to the Lord, He no longer sees you. He sees Jesus. So when the enemy comes and goes, hey, what's your name? You just stand there. It's the Lord. It's the Lord. This is my identity. Why? Guys, what great, great encouragement for us tonight. We belong to the God who created the heavens and the earth. We take our identity from Him. He is the source of our life. The enemy comes in and he says, Cherie, why are you rebuilding the temple? And you say, man, I'm a servant of the Lord. It's because doing this work, we're serving this great God. This great God. You see, listen, we have to get this on our head. We're servants. We're servants. That's our identity. We're servants. Serving Him is what we are ordained to do. You need to know you have a purpose on this earth. Your purpose is to glorify God in all you do. In all you do, you are to be a beautiful reflector of who God is. You're to share love and grace and mercy. You're to encourage those that are broken. You're to point to Jesus for salvation. That's who we are. That's who we're supposed to do. We're supposed to be a loving example of how to love God. In Christ.
As we come to a close to this episode of In Christ, we're reminded that God is a restorer. He brought His people back from exile, gave them new life in the middle of ruins, and helped them rebuild the spiritual condition of the people on a foundation of grace and obedience. Ezra showed us that restoration isn't instant, and it isn't easy, but it is possible when God is at the center. He rebuilds worship before walls, hearts before homes, and obedience before blessings. Even when the work was slow and opposition was strong, God remained faithful to finish what He began. The same God who restores His people then is still at work today. No matter what feels broken, unfinished, or discouraged in your life, God's grace is enough to revive, restore, and rebuild. Join us next time as Pastor Ben continues in the Building a Foundation series from the book of Ezra. And may you continue to trust God as you return, rebuild, and lay foundations that will last.
Hey guys, Pastor Ben here. Our vision at Calvary Chapel Lubbock is we want to be a place that continually feeds and shepherds the people of God. I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to In Christ Radio, and I'm praying that you were blessed and well-fed by our radio ministry, and by God's grace, this becomes one of those things that continues to build up your faith, encourages your walk with God, as well as fuel your love for Jesus. Would you consider partnering with us financially? It's actually really simple. You could either do it online at inchristradio.com. Simply hit the donate button. If sending a check is more comfortable for you, you can drop one in the mail at In Christ Radio, 4218 Boston Avenue, Lubbock, Texas, 79413.
I'm praying that you would fall more deeply in love with Jesus. God bless.
If you missed any of today's show or would like to listen to it again, check out our website, inchristradio.com. There you can find a link to this show, along with this past week's episodes. There is also a link to the Calvary Chapel Lubbock podcast with a whole library of great Bible teachings and teachers. Have a prayer request? Submit yours safely and privately at inchristradio.com. I would like to personally invite you to one of our services. We meet Sunday mornings at 10 a.m., Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m., and Thursdays at 12 for noonday prayer. Did you miss any information? Our website again is inchristradio.com.